Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
John Hope Bryant is an entrepreneur, author, and advisor, and one of the nation's most recognized empowerment leaders. He is the founder, chairman, and CEO of Operation Hope and Bryant Group Companies, recognized as one of Time Magazine's 50 for the Future Leaders. Brian is the author of Love Leadership and is the only African-American best-selling business author. He served as chairman of the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability, Subcommittee on the Underserved and Community Empowerment, and was appointed by President Obama in 2014 as a member of the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability for Young Americans. John Hope Bryant joins us this morning to discuss his new book, How the Poor Can Save Capitalism. It's a great pleasure to welcome John Hope Bryant to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. It's a great honor to have you on the program.
It's my honor to be with you. I love, love, love public radio.
Well,
as you can tell from my resume, it's hard for me to keep a job.
when you think about this issue of saving capitalism, what do you believe the poor's role should be and can be?
Well, let me be clear. I don't really give a dang about saving capitalism, and capitalism doesn't need me to defend it. Capitalism is actually a horrible system, except for every other system. It's like democracy. It's just messy. But it can be used as a force for good. And the reality is that the poor, the working class, and what I call the teetering middle class, folks with too much month at the end of their money, really have saved capitalism and continue to this day. We don't really give credit to the people driving this economy. It's the largest economy in the world, 70% of which is driven by consumer spending. That's Federal Reserve numbers. And 70% of the Americans are living from paycheck to paycheck. So no matter where you are, if you're making, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, you're struggling to make ends meet. You're living in New York City making $70,000 a year. You're struggling to make ends meet. So whether you're white, black, red, brown, or yellow, you want to see some more green, as in currency. But you're driving the economy. I mean, you take 90% of every dollar you make, if you make $60,000 a year, and you're putting it back in the economy because you can't afford not to. So these little microtransactions, you know, mortgages and car notes and Starbucks coffees and gas station visits and daycare bills and buying toothpaste is driving the economy, but get no credit for it. So that's piece number one. And then, of course, the other piece is every big business was once a small one. But small business startups are at a historic low in this country, and we got to get back to the greatness of this country, which is creating ownership.
You outline this in the book, but what do you think the keys and certainly the building blocks to investing in America's least wealthy consumers?
Recognizing that they have value first and foremost. I mean, my rich friends need the poor to do better, if only to stay rich. And recognizing that that literally all wealth was created, other than robber barons and those who made money from government contracting, literally all wealth in the world came from poor people. You know, Walmart started by a guy named Sam Walton with a pickup truck and a storefront. UPS started with a guy named Jim Casey with $100 and a bicycle. I mean, we can go on and on and on of how all of these companies that we take for granted today were started by somebody typically of very humble means, humble beginnings. But 70% of jobs today come from employers with 500 employees or less. Half of jobs today come from employers with 100 employees or less. So in some ways, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. We keep saying to our kids, go to school K through 12, graduate, great, do that. Go to college, great, do that. Go work for a big government or big business, neither of which are hiring. There's only 974 businesses that employ 10,000 people or more in the entire country. And they aren't hiring anybody. But that's what we tell our kids to grow up and want to aspire to go work for. No wonder they're distressed and dropping out from high school at a 30 to 70% level. They say, what's the point? So I have a different vision, basically. I just have a different strategy for America, and it's very practical. Do it for yourself.
You talk about in the book that the three factors that perpetuate poverty, lack of self-confidence and self-esteem, lack of positive role models, and lack of opportunity. So in doing it for yourself, how do you change and alter those factors?
Yeah, I love that you read the book, because that is key. I mean, you can skim the book and not get that. That point is everything, because real poverty has nothing to do with money. Zip. Half of all poverty is just low self-esteem and lack of confidence in yourself, lack of belief. If you don't know who you are at 9 in the morning, by dinner time, somebody's going to tell you who you are. And then role models, I mean, why are you in the broadcasting booth? My guess is you saw somebody and said, I can do that, right? Why am I an entrepreneur? I saw my daddy when I was, you know, wearing suits growing up, and I said, gee, I can do that, right? It's not rocket science, it's role modeling. I'm a businessman because my daddy was. You know, why does a kid want to be a drug dealer? He doesn't grow up and say, ooh, let me be a bum. He grows up and he looks outside of his rear view, you know, out of his window, and that's all he sees in his neighborhood is symbols of success. Are rap stars, athletes, and drug dealers, and why isn't he surprised that that's who he wants to be? Environment, you hang around 9 broke people, you'll be the 10th. So we model our environment, and an aspiration, the most dangerous person in the world is a person with no hope. So how do you reverse engineer that? We're putting 1,000 hope inside locations, inside of bank branches, creating the first private banker for the poor and the working class and the struggling middle class. We have 100 locations we put in the last 1 year. Our goal is 1,000 locations by 2020. We're in 15 of the top largest banks, right? We're probably in a neighborhood near your listeners right now, and if not, we're coming. And we're doing a lot of things there, but we're raising credit scores to 700. That's a big thing. That will increase your self-esteem. That will boost your confidence. That will make your chest, you know, come out and your shoulders rear back and your head come up, and you walk with pride and dignity. And that will keep folks from pimping you and taking advantage of you, which is what these check cashers, payday loan lenders, rent-to-own stores, title lenders are doing, not just in poor neighborhoods, in middle-class neighborhoods they're doing it. And they're feeding off of a 500 credit score. It's not race-based. And so my philosophy is very simple. Nothing changes your life more than God or love than moving your credit score 120 points. And we're moving. I'm joking, but I'm serious. We're moving credit scores. You know, you got to take, you know, make sure you laugh in life. Otherwise, it'll drive you crazy. But we're moving credit scores 120 points in 18 to 24 months. That's transformational. And these banks are in the no business not by intention. It's by regulation and by business plan dictate. So they want to say yes, but can't. So our job is to bridge between the no and the yes to create a positive maybe, and we're doing it four square block area by four square block area inside of bank branches, credit unions, grocery stores, big box retailers. So that's one of our strategies for adults. I'll maybe cover the youth strategy later on in the program.
Well, let us talk about youth strategy, because of getting that in, and you talk about the importance of literacy, of teaching those kids from kindergarten through college of how important financial literacy is, ultimately, so they don't get in a problem and their credit score is good to begin with, but certainly to understand how they can move it up.
Yeah, by the way, you know, it's really distressing, but there are adults who are, their credit is tore up, so they're using their kids' Social Security number and destroying their kids' credit. Right. So it just drives me crazy. But what we're doing is what happened to me when I was growing up. When I grew up in Compton, my mother told me she loved me. My dad owned his own business. Okay, that was great. It gave me self-esteem and a sense of what I can do. But I still needed skills. And a banker came in my classroom, home economics, and taught a financial literacy course. He was from Bank of America. I looked at this banker who happened to be Caucasian, and I said, he was green as far as I'm concerned, the color of currency. And I said, sir, what do you do for a living? And how did you get rich legally? And he said, I'm a banker. He said, I'm a banker, and I finance entrepreneurs. I said, man, I don't know what an entrepreneur is. I know what a banker is. I don't know what an entrepreneur is, but I'm going to be one. If you're financing them, I'm going to be one. And the next year, I started my first business, the Neighborhood Candy House, and with $40 and made $300 a week. And I'm an entrepreneur today because of that. So it was a sense of, yes, I am, yes, I can, and the tools to build. If all we do is just give kids a course in financial literacy, we're going to put them to sleep. But if you can connect education with aspiration, which is what we're doing,
right,
you'll crush the dropout rate. You just crush the dropout rate. So what we're doing is these Hope Business in a Box Academies, we're giving kids a course in financial literacy, a course in entrepreneurship, 25 businesses you can start for $500 or less, doing a pitch event in the kids' auditorium, think Shark Tank for kids, and letting the kid pitch for 2 minutes. There's a timer because life is short. Judges, no celebrities, only local relatable role models. When the kid wins, we open a bank account for him, and we deposit the money. And Gallup measures this, so we know what success and failure looks like. And we're seeing a radical turnaround in youth engagement in these schools. And what I described to you is not rocket science. And we're about to launch the B-minus business compact under the theory that if you have an A-plus kid, the kid's going to be fine. But I'm concerned about the kids with D's, C's, and F's. If the kid makes a pledge to give me a B-minus, we'll give them a 6-week business internship right out of school. The business gives us $500 to pay for a business suit, a business card, and transportation and food money for 6 weeks. After 6 weeks, the kid will change the business, and the business will change the kid. And I'm convinced if we just do this with 5% of the kids in our neighborhoods, you'll just transform America. Both of those strategies cost the average American $41.60 a month. I mean, and no government intervention. I mean, I love the government, but you don't need the government. We don't need the president to solve this. You don't need the governor to solve this. You don't need the mayor to solve this. I mean, the local dentist office, the local pharmacist, the local banks, corporations can solve this. It's community by community.
So let's talk about that. What case do you make? And again, you write about this, but the case that you make to corporations and banks and say, okay, this is why you should invest in poor communities, and this is ultimately how you will benefit. Because that is, after all, often what they care about most.
Sure, sure. I don't make a charity case. I make an enlightened self-interest case. I assume people are selfish, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with enlightened self-interest, doing well and doing good, doing well by doing good. I say to banks, put me in your lobbies, not because it's the right thing to do, but because you want sustainable customers, unlike the mortgage crisis where you had unsustainable customers. But if we're moving credit scores 120 points and delivering somebody to you with a 620 or better credit score, you better believe that that bank's going to be all over that customer like a cheap suit. Because that not only does a customer check all the compliance boxes and make them look good for the community, but this is a sustainable customer that they want on their balance sheet. But if they're a 500 credit score customer, it is a check casher and payday loan lender that's targeting them. So we're just going to rob the check casher of their customer and deliver them to ethical financial institutions that are government regulated. So that's sort of one vision. The vision for young people is a different vision, but a companion vision. You know, school districts get $5,000-$6,000 per kid that graduates from school, but if you don't graduate, they don't get the money. So really, the school chief is the CEO. And here's the irony: the more dropouts they have, the less resources they have because less buns and seats, which means less teachers, less computers. So it becomes a spiral downward. So how do you turn around the dropout rate? Kids are basically saying to the business, the school district, I'm rejecting you because you're not making education relevant to my future. So I'm going to drop out and go do something else. We are going to make a case to the customer, the young person, that they should actually stay in school. That's what Hope Business in the Box Academies are about. That's what the Hope B-minus Business Compact is about. And so that makes us relevant to education system. That gives more revenue for school districts. That then creates responsible, engaged young people who are positive about their future, won't get into trouble, will contribute to society. Those young people end up becoming young families with jobs, responsibilities, paying taxes, raising their children. Voila, you got the rebirth of America.
The name of the book is How the Poor Can Save Capitalism, Rebuilding the Path to the Middle Class. The book is published by Barrett Kohler Publishers. John Hope Bryan, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Literally, public radio is my favorite venue, literally. So thanks for having me.
Thank you. A great pleasure to have you on our airwaves. I appreciate it. Again, the title of the book, How the Poor Can Save Capitalism. You can find out more by going to operationhope.org, operationhope.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.